So the original word, whenever we see the word power in Acts, the kind of original word talks about kind of where we get a word dynamite or dynamic. So it was a really kind of like dynamite or really dynamic power that came across. And actually, we know that story because of Pentecost. We know that story really well, don't we, when the Holy Spirit came. But I think it's really easy to miss the impact. Imagine being there and the impact of God's Holy Spirit came on those believers. And actually, we remind ourselves that the same Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost, that came, that Sianna's just read about, was the same power that was in Jesus himself and the same power that is at work in us today if we are believers. So in essence, that is the story of Acts, how God's holy power, Holy Spirit power came on those early disciples and kind of the impact that it had. And as we move on from that second chapter of Acts, we begin to see something of the explosive growth of the early church of Christianity. And if you go look at from Acts chapter 3 through to Acts chapter 8, you'll kind of see there's cycles of growth and expansion of the early church. In Acts chapter 6, one of the leaders of the early church, Stephen, is doing great miracles and he's preaching to crowds. He's taken the Old Testament and showing the crowds how the Old Testament is fulfilled in the person of Jesus. But of course, the Jewish authorities don't like what Stephen is saying. They were really furious. So if anybody's got Acts chapter 8, the first four verses, be great if we could have that. Thank you.
On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
So, because Stephen has offended the Jewish authorities so much, actually he is stoned to death. And as a result, the Christians flee from Jerusalem in fear of their lives. They scatter throughout the region, but as Andy has just read, actually, rather than stopping the church dead in its tracks because of persecution, actually, as they go out to different places, they take the gospel with them and they're able to share Jesus. And that is one of the reasons that the church expanded. Because actually, as persecution hit, the church went out further than Jerusalem and they took the gospel with them. And somebody said, imagine the church being like a dandelion. That as the wind of persecution came, it scattered the seed and new churches were started. They started springing up everywhere, dramatically adding to this cycle of expansion of the church. So that is where we find ourselves at the end, roughly, of chapter 12. So that's kind of the first half of Acts. But you'll have heard Andy read about somebody who was very prolific in the persecution of the church, which is the person of Paul. So if we go through from the second part of Acts, particularly from 9 onwards, then we begin to kind of shift focus away from Jerusalem and on to the person of Paul. And like I say, he would have been the last person that you would have thought would have been a convert to Christianity. But he meets Jesus on a dramatic way on the road to Damascus and he becomes a follower of Jesus. And actually, I want to say that the conversion of Paul was a bit of a game changer. Because what he did was not only preach the gospel in Jerusalem and to Jews, but actually he took it much further into non-Jewish regions and people. He had a calling to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And actually, if you read the rest of Acts, you will see it's a record. It's almost like a travel journey as he goes hundreds of miles along Roman roads and sharing the good news of Jesus wherever he went. In Greece, in modern-day Greece, in Turkey, Rome, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth. Actually, we can never underestimate the impact that Paul had. So our last reading is from Acts chapter 14. Has somebody got it? Yeah, Chris, okay, let's just have the microphone. Seeing you look after the sound as well, you can monitor yourself. Thanks, Chris.
They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles.
So it's a great image, isn't it? Of actually Paul and his team going from place to place to place, planting or small Christians, planting churches in their homes usually, and the gospel community of churches beginning to grow. Yes, there was persecution, they got a hammering from the authorities, but that didn't stop Jews and Gentiles believing and numerous churches, small kind of house churches beginning to grow. So does anybody know how the book of Acts ends? You might know how it starts. Anybody know how it ends? Well, I didn't either, so don't feel bad about that. Actually, it ends with Paul being in house arrest, and he's still sharing the good news of Jesus, but it ends with this verse, that he's doing it with all boldness and without hindrance, with all boldness and without hindrance. But actually, if you go home and read it, there is a sense that the book finishes really suddenly. There's kind of, it feels like there is no real end to the book of Acts. And I wonder whether that is intentional by Luke to remind us that the story of Acts is still ongoing today in our world. That there is no end to the story of Jesus until he comes again. So in Luke's gospel, Luke kind of talked about and shared Jesus, all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. And then he continues that story in his book of Acts as he describes all that Jesus continues to do through the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit guides and directs the Church of Jesus in the mission and ministry to the ends of the earth. It's a great way to kind of remind us that we are part of the story of Acts in different ways. But I also thought a little bit about, as I've read the story of Acts this week and the story of the early church, what are some of the things that we can learn? And some of them you've already picked out. You know, one of the things that struck me, and I've perhaps read a bit more than we have read today, but one of the things that struck me is that the early church were really good at finding relevant ways to communicate the gospel to the different particular cultures. So Paul in particular, if he went to where there was a Jewish synagogue, he would start there, take the Old Testament and talk about how Jesus fulfilled the promises of the Old Testament. But when he goes to different places, to Greece, for example, he takes the poets and philosophers' work and he starts there and talks about how the gospel applies in that culture. So for me, there was a challenge for us to think about how do we communicate the gospel well to the culture in which we live. We also see in Acts that actually the Holy Spirit is visibly guiding and directing God's people. He opens loads of doors, but you'll also see, particularly in Acts 16, that sometimes he closes doors. There was lots of things happening, but actually God chose through his Spirit to stop Paul going into certain places so that he was pushed into other places and he began to take the gospel into Europe. And I want to say that that is how God's Spirit still works today. In our lives and in the church, actually sometimes it is as much about God closing doors to push us in the right direction as it is to opening doors. And we need to trust the guidance and direction of the early church. The same power that empowered Jesus and the early church lives in us and empowers us. And it's a great reminder, isn't it, that the Holy Spirit energizes us, guides us, directs us, and opens hearts to receive the good news of Jesus. And I think that's really important to remind ourselves that as we seek to go out and be the church, we don't do it in isolation. It's not our job to kind of get people to believe the words if we're sharing Jesus. Actually, the Holy Spirit goes before us and will prepare hearts to be receptive to hear the gospel. Not everybody will be receptive, but we need to trust God that he, as we are confident to share Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work in people's lives to receive the message. Our role is to be available, to go and do as he wills, to open our mouths, to be ready in any and every situation. And you know, one of the things that as I read the story of the early church, it seems to me that they trusted God completely with the results of their labour. And that's a great thing for us to remember. But Luke's final words in this book of Acts is the gospel being shared with all boldness and without hindrance. With all boldness and without hindrance. Somebody said, I think it was Alan, that talked about courage and boldness that we see in the early church. And actually, if you read the book, you can't help but see the courage that those early Christians had despite all of the difficulties and challenges and persecution. It's a good reminder for us. When we are seeking to share Jesus, or in difficult situations, or in everyday situations, those times when maybe we aren't feeling very confident to share Jesus, or anxious, or not feeling very courageous or bold, we can remember that the Holy Spirit transformed the lives of ordinary people in the early church, and actually his power is still available to us. You know, as Brother Andrew drove up to that those borders, he prayed for God's Spirit, and we are called to do the same as we take the message. So we pray for boldness, but also Luke talks about that the sharing was without hindrance. And somebody talked about, maybe it speaks about the boundless nature of the gospel. There are a final reminder, those words at the end of Acts, of the unstoppable progress and unstoppable nature of the mission of God. Because that mission is still continuing today. It goes on through the lives of faithful followers of Jesus, in large cities or in small towns, through large churches and small churches. It's continuing under oppressive governments and those that are more favourable towards Christians, among various people groups of all nations and tribes and languages throughout our world. The gospel is continued through each of us who are followers of Jesus here today, in this church, and the churches that we know. Maybe they might be in Harrogate or in the country, maybe a home church that we left, but also the churches in Nigeria and Hong Kong and other places throughout the world. It's part of God's ongoing mission in our world, and we are called and encouraged and given the privilege of being part of it. God has given us the necessary resources. And at the end of the day, we need two things. We need the gospel and we need God's Holy Spirit. And he's given both of those at our disposal. Ordinary people of God, empowered by God's Holy Spirit, who have got a passion to share Jesus, can accomplish the mission of God in our world today. When this great book of Acts is fully completed, when Jesus comes again, when we sit and read that book, I wonder what part of that book we will see ourselves playing. And that is the challenge that I want to leave with us. As we think about the book of Acts continuing this week, what is going to be our part in continuing the story?